You are now listening to the smooth sounds of Love Atiya. Ciao, beautiful souls. My name's Atiya, and I am your future bestie in your head. I am a sex-positive animal activist. I grew up in Queens, New York, and was homeschooled slash unschooled for about 12 years. I was a virgin until I was 24 and attempted to have a hoe phase for 2 years, which eventually led me to being accidentally slash intentionally celibate. And here we are today. My past left me with a lot of wild stories, a lot of lessons, and a hell of a lot of trauma. Thank God for my wicked sense of humor, because God only knows I would have perished by now. With that being said, this is your gentle reminder that the Love Atiya experience was created as a safe space for me to reflect and share the lessons that I've learned from past traumas. Shit gets real on this podcast, and topics such as domestic violence, sexual assault, substance abuse, depression, anxiety, and suicide may be referenced. If you are working through feeling triggered by certain topics, this may not be the show for you right now, and that's okay. Healing takes time and isn't linear. I'll be here when you're ready. Now, without further ado, the Love Atiya experience is an experience. So get ready for laughs, crazy story times, and life-changing pleasure tips here on the Love Atiya Experience Podcast. Hey there, beautiful souls. It's your girl, Love Atiya, and welcome to the Love Atiya Experience. Before I officially dive into the second part of this absolutely amazing interview that I had with the wonderful, the illustrious gross demon Alex Monroe, I do just want to give a quick trigger warning, as we do touch on certain topics that might be triggering to certain people, such as healing from childhood sexual trauma, suicidal ideations, and sexual assault. So if any of this may be something that just doesn't bring ease to your spirit right now during your healing journey, I totally understand. But I do highly recommend that when you are in a space to listen, that you come back, because this episode was truly so enlightening, and I am so, 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 so grateful to have had it with the amazing, vulnerable, and very transparent gross demon Alex Monroe. So this is part two of our very, very, very amazing episode where we talked about a whole lot of stuff, including how it is to be in the porn industry and how we're healing from sexual trauma. So yes, I'm so excited for you to enjoy. I love y'all so much. Don't forget, if you want to watch this on video, you can head to my YouTube. And this is just a gentle reminder to join me on Patreon, where you can hear so much more transparency, you can hear so much more vulnerability, and you can even hear some tea that I don't quite want to share for the general public. So feel free to join the Love Club on Patreon.com. I love y'all so, so much. And if you cannot afford Patreon, it's no worries at all. I do have a free email blast and a free tier on Patreon right now if you're listening to this. It might be there, might not. So check it out while it's there. I love y'all so much. And now it's time to get back into the show. So let's catch up with the gross demon Alex Monroe on how they met their twin flame. Enjoy.
I'll get scared.
Yeah.
But like, he was staring at me, and I was like, that's weird. I kind of want him to stop. And then my brain said, maybe if I wave at him, he'll leave me alone.
We love your brain.
Thinking, but like, thinking back on it years later, I'm like, what do you mean? That's the opposite of what happens when you wave at somebody. But then he took that as his opportunity to come talk to me.
Your soul was like, you must wave. It knew what it was doing.
Yeah, and I kind of recognized him as, like, I don't know, a significant person when I was looking through his sketchbook, because I asked to see his sketchbook. For one, I sized him up and noticed he was wearing Converse. Okay. And he was, like, talking to me. He was like, can I take you out for ice cream? Which he had me at ice cream, because niggas never want to take you out for ice cream. They always want to inebriate you. And that was the first person to ever ask me to do something fun. You know, I love ice cream. I'm into that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I was looking through a sketchbook, and I was like, who are you? You draw exactly the way I want to draw.
Wow.
And like, you know, and like, you listen to him talk about that moment too. He said that he was having a shitty ass day, and like, seeing me changed his life.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, I'm glad that you still tell people about the way we met, because I still tell people about the way we met too. And it was one of those situations where I'm still baffled, where it's like, I realized he had the power to destroy me. I realized I wanted to give him everything. I told myself I was running away.
Wow.
And I didn't go anywhere. Wow. You know, now years later, we're back together, and I'm listening to him justify my feelings, because over the time in which we weren't talking to each other, Because, like, I totally understood why he stopped talking to me. Like, when I realized that I was self-destructive and self-hating, and I was not only like a bastard to him, but to me as well, like, I understood why he didn't want to fucking talk to me, you know? So, like, after getting to that point and just kind of, I guess, moving past it, healing past it, and now actually being in a place where we could talk about the time apart and listening to him talk about how he felt the same a way that I did, just kind of feels cathartic. Like, at this point, I'm just kind of fuck it. Like, my longest relationship is 9 years. Because if, like, I'm gonna sit there and every day I was like, no, I'm his. And then he was like, no, I felt like you were mine. So, like, why am I going to fight this? Like, when we were together, I got us like rings, and like, I still wear that shit to this day. Like, I used to take it off and be like, okay, I'm over him, I'm done. But also, my heart says that I love him and that we're meant to be together. And if I am going to follow my heart and be true to my heart, why would I sit here and be like, he's not the one if my heart is telling me he's the one, you know? But,
Absolutely.
like, the worst thing I could do is believe it and then die.
And then explode.
The worst thing that could happen is I believe it for my entire life and then I die and it never happens. And then, like, at that point, I could be like, yeah, we never got back together. Fuck that nigga. But, like, up until that point, like, you can't say that he never came back if, like, we both didn't die. You know, there's always a chance for us to come back together if we're both alive. And
Absolutely. And the work had to be done, like you said, like for you to really be able to fully be in it and enjoy the love too. Do you feel
yeah.
you have reached the, I know that there's always room to grow when it comes to like self-love, but do you feel like you've reached like the peak or the goal that you had when it comes to self-love now that you're with him, or are you still working on it?
No. Like, I was joking with him when we got back together, where it's like I spent the last 9 years with my top life goal to be back with this nigga. Because growing up, the only thing I ever wanted in life was a family. You know, and in order to have a family, you must find someone to start a family with. So now that I'm like back with the person I feel that I'm meant to be with, now what? You know, because you don't just stop there. Now I need a new life goal. And it's like, okay, I feel like for one, the universe is constantly fucking with me as far as him, because, like, as I said, like, he stopped talking to me for a few years. The way we started talking again was he had a dream about me and unblocked me. And then I was messing around on my phone and his name popped up, but, like, not under his name. And I was like, why did I type this random word and his name popped up? So I clicked his contact, trying to figure out why it was linked to that random word. And my phone called him right after he unblocked me. And that's how we started talking again. So I'm like, the universe obviously is moving, because that's like, I accidentally call you after you just unblocked me. I don't.
Nice shit. Absolutely. That's some universal, like,
But, like, no, like, now I'm in that, oh shit, you, like, we're not only in a serious relationship, which I haven't had in the past time that we broke up, but you bring out all the trauma. So not only am I dealing with the base level trauma, I'm dealing with the deep rooted repressed trauma. Like, I've been miserable in the time that we've been back together, because I've just been facing trauma back and forth, you know? And it's like, when you don't know how to deal with all the stuff coming up, then it's just like, I don't know what to fucking do. I'm just a fucking mess right now, you know? So, like, now I'm just focusing on sorting through that shit.
I understand. And is it stuff that is not like he's intentionally triggering it, but is it things that are like, how do you notice like that it's trauma being brought up? I know it's an obvious question, but like, does it make sense?
It's not an obvious question at all, I wouldn't say. Like, I personally would see it as an obvious question, but as a person who understands that not everybody can just ask themselves, why do you feel like that? What's going on? And then have a little voice in their brain say, this is what's up. You know, if you don't have that, it's not obvious. But
you.
like, it's one of those things where I literally just ask myself, I sit with it. Like, there's a lot of things, like, I know the base level of stuff, and I've just been facing my mom trauma this entire time because, like, I ask myself, do you really feel unloved? Or is it because you were told all the time that nobody was going to love you for who you are? Is it just like, is it because this person? Because, like, as an individual who has never felt like I have had a place in the world, I never felt like I had a place that felt like home until I met him. It like brings up that fear of losing him, that fear of not being good enough, that fear of not being worthy of love, that feeling of not being worthy of feeling safe, that feeling of not even being protected, not being listened to. All this stuff comes up, and it's like there are occasions, there are moments in our relationship where I will be vulnerable and then be met with hostility simply because of either where his mind space is at, how I worded that, the situation going on, how things just went down. You know, we're navigating a tentative relationship that is new to every party involved. So it's difficult to deal with on top of the trauma coming up. So it's just like, okay, so I feel like this. I feel like this because he did that and it made me feel like this. Is it really because he did this and it made me feel like that? Or does it go deeper than that? And, like, you know, I'll sit with those moments and then I'll be taken back to every moment that I tried to express myself to my mom and she would like berate me and tell me that I was worthless and that I was unlovable and I was never going to be loved. And it's like, is that my brain telling me that I'm not worthy of love because his reaction wasn't what I wanted it to be? And like, you know, even sometimes I have to kind of take a step back and kind of reread what he says via text and just be like, does he mean what I think he means? Or am I not taking these words literally? Am I like reading hostility where there is no hostility? Am I just being afraid of opening up and being vulnerable? Or is he actually being hostile, you know?
Fucking. And text is so hard, especially if it's like literal texting, not like voice notes. Because it really is just in general hard to fucking read the read the responses, if that makes sense, in whatever tone it's sent. So if you already have something in your head or whatever the case may be, I do that shit all the time. I read everything with hostility. I'm like, why did they hear like that? What? They hate me?
The same. And like, I struggle, like, I feel so sorry for him because if he was a regular guy and this was a brand new relationship, like, we might not even be going through this. There's also the fact that it's a polyamorous relationship and he has another partner and he has been in that within that time. So then there's just like, okay, so it's like we're equal, both he and I, his other partner.
Beautiful.
But then it's like a matter of, do I feel equal because, like, do I not feel equal because I'm not being treated equal, or do I not feel equal because I feel worthless, you know? So it's a matter of asking myself those questions and then picking apart, okay, so what do I need him to do to make me feel equal compared to, like, do you even need anything, or is it just the feeling that you're having that, like, needs to be let go of? But then, like, I struggle with the whole letting go part because I didn't, I'm 12 years old. I didn't start living until I was 19.
No fat. I need to really go back and like redo my age, because I'm like, when the fuck did I really start living? Like, I low-key feel like I'm one. Like, this is actually the first year I've actually been for real, like committed to like being in this body, being in this bitch, you know? Like,
Sometimes it's like that.
like I feel alive. Like, yeah, it's very interesting. So yeah, I'm one. So nice to meet you. Two thoughts. One is that I know that like I can relate in the parental aspect when it comes to like things our parents have told us that have like stuck with us, and like we fucking are like working through it. And I never thought that I would be on the other side of like my relationship with my dad, right? Like, we've been going through it for like a really long period of my life. And then I swear, I feel like after my grandma passed away, like her and my other grandma linked up and did some voodoo or some shit and was like, get this nigga together. And then like got my dad together. I don't even know, not to call him a nigga, but like, you know. And so I fail not to say that. So it's just interesting to see like his some of his reflections of back when he was like not the kindest to me, or when he would put these judgments on me, like, oh, I'm so controlling, 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 controlling. But then fast forward, like to have a healthy conversation with him to where he's like, actually, in all reality, like he, if I'll speak as him, like I was the one who was controlling. I tried to make my voice deep, like I was the one who was like had the control issues. And I'm like, yo, my guy was projecting this whole time and I carried this shit on my back for years. And if I'm controlling, who do you think I learned it from, my brother? Like, and I know my mom has also expressed that she's had some forms of problems of control as well. So just the fact that it came from both sides, same for my anxiety. Like, I have anxiety, and when I first expressed it to him, he like kind of refuted the idea of like anxiety and depression because he felt like I was just labeling myself until he saw me have a panic attack and was like, oh no, like, and then like really worked me through it. But then come to find out, he had anxiety. Like, he literally expressed it like he had. So my thing is, I know that I can't heal like everyone's parental trauma, and I understand that everyone's resolve looks different, but I just wanted you to know, like, just from the outside looking in, like, when parents be saying shit, it's literally how they feel about themselves, and it doesn't take away the fucking weight that it puts on us as kids, because we're like, I trust you as a parent, so whatever you tell me, I'm supposed to listen to everything my parent says, right? But like, it literally is just some shit that's going on with them then that they can't express other than like berating their kids with it, you know? Don't know what that's about. It's not an excuse at all, but it's helped me undo some of the things that I've had in my head when it comes to like shit either my parents or even my ex has said to me, and I'm like, oh, he, no, like he was, there's no, like I can't take anything he said for face value. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, I hope that I'm so excited to see like how your healing journey goes. But that was just really helpful for me with like parents that say shit and it sticks, and then like we're having to work through it. And to this day, even with his acknowledgement, I still actively have to work through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not over here like kumbaya. Like, no, I'm actually working through my shit too. So I can relate. And even hearing you, like, the fact that you did it afraid, like in this relationship, like you got in this relationship, and like my mom always says, even if you're scared, do it afraid. And it's like a quote from Van Zandt. Yeah. So the fact that you did it afraid, like I'm so terrified of being in a relationship and having my triggers come back up, like, or not even come back up, but rediscovering new ones. And then like, what if I'm in a relationship and like some of the shit that I was doing with my ex that I like blamed on my ex, like what if that's, but like I don't think so, like I but I'll never know until I'm in a healthy relationship to where I'm able to navigate. And I can relate to your polyamory. This was the second thing, because I don't, do you identify as being polyamorous as well?
I do.
Okay.
To touch on what you were saying, like I totally understand the parental aspect. As an adult who has been diving into my trauma, I've realized two things. One, my mama didn't mean like, as looking back at it, she didn't want kids. She shouldn't have had kids. She shouldn't have been in any of the relationships that she was in. So like she my sister is a product of her growing up in like a situation where her dad wouldn't let her be a person unless she got married. So she did that so she could have a life. And then like she hated my dad because he was abusive to her, and she took that out on me. She didn't mean to do any of that shit, but like how can I expect her to love me when she doesn't know what love is herself, you know?
Yes,
And
come
the
on, stay with
second thing, I am a product of her trauma. Her trauma is my trauma. I'm a reflection of her trauma. Just like my older sister is also a reflection of her trauma, but we all process that same trauma differently,
Yes.
you know? So I try to like look like I have a huge fear of being my mom to the point where like I would look in the mirror and I would hate my face because I would only see my mom. Nothing against my mom's face, but it's my face and I want to see my face.
Yes.
Ironically, like I got this scar on my eye, and ever since I got this scar, I have not been able to see my mom. All I see is me now, which
Wow.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that I got that feeling from a fucking facial scar. I've never wanted facial scars. That's like the last, like I love scars, but this is my money maker, you know? This is my favorite part of me. I don't, but like I can accept it because like it was an accident for one.
Okay.
But I got it because of my boyfriend, and like I don't know, my brain is a weird place. So part of me is just like, ha ha, he's marked me as his territory. And but also he's deformed me, so no one will love me. And I'm just like, Bryce, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? Like, stop being pissed over this shit. Like, he didn't even mean to, and he feels so bad about it.
Opposite of The Lion King 2, when Kovu gets his scar and he turns into Scar, you did like the opposite. It's crazy.
But like, I don't want to be like her because she's very domineering in her relationships, which part of me worries that that's where my submissiveness comes from, because like I'm used to not having any power, so that just might be where I'm comfortable. But also, I don't know, like I also have a breeding kink. Like I'm just a power bottom, you know? And like I like part of me feels like I incarnated as a female bodied individual because I love creation so much that I wanted the ability to create life, you know? So it's like outside of my ability to create life, I don't really think about it that much, but you know, that also comes with like a breeding kink. But like after having those two realizations, to bring it back to my mom, after having those two realizations, it really, like, mind you, my relationship with my mom has also changed because I kind of ran away. I moved out one time, and then every time I would come see her, we would just argue. And after, like, I moved in back into her house, we would just argue because I didn't want her to, like, I love her. The relationship between a mother and a child is the most important thing to me. So it was painful for me to not have that with the person that I made, that made me, the person that carried me for 9 months, just for me to feel like you don't want me, and you wish that, like I too wish you had an abortion, you know?
No facts. This fucking this timeline, really?
I think it was because I kept arguing with her, and then it got to the point where if you don't acknowledge how I feel and how you hurt me, you're going to lose me. Because as much as I want you in my life, I'm not going to sit around and let anybody hurt me anymore. That includes you. So it's like after we had that moment, she kind of switched and stopped like bothering me about the little things that bother her and only her, and stopped and started being more supportive. Like I remember the first time I like texted my mom and I'm like, Mommy, I'm sad. And I talked to her about something and she wasn't judgmental. She was just supportive. And I'm just like, are we there? Am I living the dream?
Hold the fuck up.
So, like, I totally get it. And as like somebody that understands how she was raised, how she was like neglected and not had to fight constantly, I understand why she said the things she said and why she did the things she did and why she behaved the way she behaved. And now it's like on to me where it's like, okay, that's just on generational trauma, you know? You pass it down. It's now my job to recognize that, change that, and not pass it down, which I feel like at this point in my life, if I want to get to that next step of having that family, I have to figure this shit out because I would hate myself if I gave any of that to my children. It's so bad where I'm still contemplating if my mom will have any interaction with my children because she fucked me up so bad. And it's like my children are going to be unhinged. Just whatever you want to do, however you want to express yourself, here we go. Let's fucking do it. And you're not going to make them feel bad for it because why would you? There is no reason for them to know shame, you know? So, like, I worry that she might be hostile in that manner, but at the same time, I don't think she cares enough. Don't think she cares enough when it comes to other people's kids, you know? So it's like, I just want to make sure that I heal those parts of myself so that I'm not also passing it down because I want my children to be the best, my magnum opus, you know? Like, that's going to be my greatest creation ever. Just beautiful, functioning humans that can make all the difference I was incapable of making, you know?
I love that. I just want to say I'm so proud of you. Like from the outside looking in, I know that when you have trauma, And when you feel like you have healing to do, it feels like, oh, I have all this work. Or at least I be feeling like I have all this fucking work to do. But like you're doing so well. Like the fact that you have this understanding about your mom, this compassion about your mom, this understanding about generational trauma, you're able to literally vocalize your trauma and what you're working through like so fucking eloquently that you seem like you have the tools to be able to like get to wherever you're trying to get when it comes to self-love and healing and all that stuff. You're like doing great, like I said,
Thank
from
you.
out to within, of course. Of course. That's
Honestly, I'm looking forward to the next step where I get to the repressed shit.
yeah.
Because you know it's bad if it's repressed.
Abso-fucking-lutely, yo. Your mind can do crazy things when it comes to fucking pushing that shit all the way back.
Yeah.
Crazy, but it needs to be tapped into. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. So, because I don't know this answer for myself, so I just like to ask the opinions of you. When it comes to like, say that you express that like sexual trauma, right, to somebody, or you share your story, or whatever the case may be, what is the proper response for someone to say, right? Because for me, I want to say like, I'm so sorry. Like that's the first thing that wants to like come out. But I'm like, what do you want to hear? You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know.
Me fucking either.
I don't even like it. Honestly, it depends on what I'm expressing. Like,
Okay.
there are certain things that I would like to talk about and just have a conversation about with a person that I feel will give me a safe space, you know?
Absolutely.
Because, like, I'm a person of action. A lot of the times I'll be bothered by something because I just want something to happen, and a simple action will make me feel better. As far as like something to say that makes me feel validated, I'm not even sure because I didn't even mentally address the fact that I was molested until I was raped, you know? And then at that point, it was a realization of, oh, wait, I was molested. Wait, hold up, that was rape. That was coercion, so that was rape. That was rape. And then, like, at that point, it all just came flooding in, you know?
Definitely. Did you always know the terminology of like coercion and stuff, or was it after you had your assault that you the rape that you realized like, oh, you learned the term? Like when I got assaulted, there were so many new words that I learned after looking on rain.org that like I didn't even know were a thing. And then I was like, oh shit, like, and then I had to go back, like you said, and recount like everything that I've been through.
It was a combination of things. Like, I was familiar with it. Like, okay, for one, City at Peace broke me as a person
Yes.
because they taught us how to not shut the fuck up about how we were feeling. But, like, I found City at Peace through the RAP program, Relationship Abuse Prevention Program. I worked for them for a summer, and they taught us what's abuse. And then after that, the combination of City at Peace and RAP had me sitting there going, hold up a second. And
Damn.
I started like really thinking about like the experiences I had been through. And I was like, wait, hold up. Was I really so used to this shit that I was just not even thinking about it? It was just, okay, I'm out of that moment. I'm fine now. Let me not even validate what the fuck just happened because I'm so used to just brushing everything that happens to me off. I didn't even like process that it happened. So then
Wow.
like after realizing what had happened, it was just a matter of putting everything together.
Wow. I can relate. I also don't know how the fuck, how am I supposed to acknowledge? Like, I don't, a part of me doesn't want somebody to say, I'm sorry. Even though that's the thing that I want to say, like, a part of me doesn't, because then what am I supposed to say? And with, like, if you say, I'm sorry, what am I supposed to say? Like, oh, it's okay. Like, no, there's
Like,
no
you didn't do anything. What are you apologizing for?
response.
It's like, I don't know. Don't say you're sorry and don't say, oh, yeah, you know, my friend went through that and then I helped him through that because that makes me feel so fucking terrible because I'm here asking you for help to help me get through it. Don't just tell me about a time you helped somebody else, you know? But like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I like it when people get mad about it, you know, when they just get so mad that somebody would hurt me like that. That makes me feel a little validated. You know, but like at the end of the day, I just want to talk about it. Maybe a shit that sucks. I'll kill that nigga.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. That's what the fuck I
Just like let me know that you give a fuck that that happened to me, and just like I don't know. Honestly, half the time I just want to talk about it. I just want to like be validated. Just know that like no, that was fucked up. That shouldn't have happened to you. Like I care. I won't do that to you. You didn't deserve that. That's not cool for that person to have done. Like, I don't know. Tell me that it's not my fault or some shit. Cause like people always want to say that it is. And then you start thinking that it is. Like, I didn't tell my mom I was getting molested because I thought she was gonna be mad at me. And then when she found out I was being molested, she got mad at me. So it's like when you're perpetuating a cycle of like making the trauma worse, you don't want to really indulge in it.
Absolutely. So how did you navigate that after you shared with your mom that you had been assaulted or molested, and then there was like no support with that? Like, how were you able to support yourself, or how did you just
I mean,
dissociate?
that was during the time where everything was repressed. That's
Okay, got you. Got
why I'm
you.
so fucked up now, because like so much shit that happened to me was repressed to the point where it's like I don't even know how to let things go because I'm so used to that being my norm. Like, fear is my norm. That's why I'm so brave, because like I'm used to being afraid. Like, even to this day, I have a trauma with people walking past my door, because my mom, like, my room was always next to the bathroom, so I didn't know if my mom was walking to the bathroom or about to storm into my room to yell at me because I did something that she thought was wrong, you know? So it's just a matter of like when I first moved into this place, and I have so many roommates, so there's always somebody walking past my door. Not everybody's gonna like, you know, walk gently. Some people, and like when you're stomping past my door, and mind you, my room is across from the fucking bathroom, so I'm still dealing with that, and I'm next to
Oh
the
my
kitchen. So it's like, it's just a matter of like, okay, I'm safe. Nobody's gonna burst into my room, even if, well, there's one person that burst into my room,
God.
but like, I know she's, if my door flies open, it's one of my favorite people ever, you know? Even if somebody is like mad at me, they're still gonna knock on the door and wait for me to say something and wait for me to answer. You know? So it's like just a matter of nobody's mad at you. They're just going to the bathroom. You live with people and like they're not even thinking about you right now. And that's kind of how I navigate that situation. But as far as like the feelings of like that are related to being told that I was worthless, being told that I was unlovable, being neglected and abandoned, those are a lot harder to kind of like face, because it's like even if I'm not being neglected or abandoned right now, how do you let go of the fear? Because technically, you could say, like I told my boyfriend earlier, we had a whole conversation about like some shit that went down. And he was like, thank you for talking to me. And I wanted to respond with, thanks for not giving up on me. And my brain was like, thanks for not giving up on me yet. Because theoretically, the next argument could be, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back. But I'm like, for one, don't say that. Don't include the yet. Don't put that out into the universe, because words have fucking power. And then it's just a matter of like, you know, forming a habit, because every day is a new day to do better, to be better, to like not make the same decisions that you made and just take a step back. And I know I gave him so many warnings. I don't think he heeded any of it. And it's like making me realize, like, just I had never fathomed the realization that he could be as helpless to me as I am him. But it's just like he didn't heed any of my warnings. And I'm just a crazy emotional mess. And I'm just like, I warned you that this would happen because I fucking know me and I know how I react to this shit. And it's like, if you don't do the things I need you to do, I'm gonna react this way and I'm gonna feel this way. So it's like outside of him doing the thing that I need him to do, I don't know how to tell my brain, like, bro, calm down. It's not as serious as you think it is. It's like, even if he didn't do the thing yet, he still intends on doing the thing. But, like, I don't want to keep bringing it up, because then it's going to negate him doing the thing and feel like, oh, now you don't want to do it. Now you're just doing it because I won't shut the fuck up about it. And then it becomes a balance of, like, I'll be allowing, allow him time to do the thing. But also, express how you feel, but also just calm the fuck down because not everything has to be a thing.
Oh, that is my fucking motto. Not everything has to be a thing. I feel like that only got implemented in my life maybe 2 months ago. So heavy on
Jesus.
that. It's new, it's fresh. I feel it though. I do. I really do. That's really enlightening. Like, it's a process. It's such a fucking process. Like, I remember when I told my mom I want to be 100% healed, she's like, Atia, like, nobody's ever 100% healed. I was like, oh, what am I doing this all for then? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's just.
Honestly, I feel like being 100% healed, like having trauma is how you maintain immortality because the universe will keep you around as long as you continue to grow. So
Yes.
if you're like get to the point where you're just living life and you're not learning or experiencing new things, that's when you like get close to death.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
But not that people should stay traumatized, but there's always that like moment of being open that you can achieve where it's like you realize that your thoughts are limited, so you could at least broaden it because everything is made up, you know? We
Yes.
established everything in society, and society exists so far out of nature that like we're basically living in a zoo
Yes.
different from literally everything else. So it's like once you get past that, you kind of realize like none of this shit really matters. Like
It's so
that's just
mean.
all trauma.
No, seriously. Every day that I recognize that it was all nothing and meaningless back when I was 15, but like now that it's really fucking hitting me, it's making like all of my decisions. Like I was literally like, what am I gonna do? Like when I'm 35, like what are my plans? Like what if the world blows up? Like what the fuck am I about to do? Like just fuck it. Like just fucking live it day by day. Like let me do it. You know, nobody really fucking knows anything. So fuck it. So yeah.
Like literally, like you could get hit by a truck at
Yeah.
any moment. It's like
Yep.
literally, I clam up anytime I hear a plane because you never know when it's coming through your fucking window.
That fucking movie. With fucking, oh man, with, oh, what's her name? Julia Roberts. It's on Netflix. It got the deers.
The
Oh,
deer.
yes. Oh my God, it's on my Reddit. Hold on. BRB.
Wait, get out.
No, but it's something like Get Out. Leave the World Behind. Have you watched
Oh,
it?
I haven't.
Okay. I low-key want to say watch that shit just because you mentioned planes. Low-key watch that shit, but like low-key don't. But like low-key do so that we can talk about it. That mixed emotions. I really, I probably have like two more questions, and I'm gonna reach to, like answer your question that you had for me in regards to like how to enjoy sex more. But I do just want to have like a conversation at some point. Like I want to have you back on the show, of course. This was fucking amazing. But I wanted to have a conversation about like our assaults, because I know that like for me, I spoke to my friend one time, like mutually we shared our experiences, and it was really like healing, cathartic for me. But I tried to make an episode where I talked about my assaults, and it was a lot. I don't think I'm gonna even release it right now because I just some things I still need to like work on. But when I feel like I have the tools to at least be able to facilitate like a safe space for you, a safe space for me, then I would love to be able to just talk about it if that makes sense.
Oh, I'm totally down to get into it. Like,
Okay.
I love talking about my history of sexual trauma.
Okay. But so it will be soon. Like I have faith in myself. I'm giving myself time, but at the same time, like I feel like I'm like creeping up on like I know I need to share, and I know that every time somebody else shares, it like helps me so much. So I definitely want to like have another episode. I'll be hitting you up soon about it. So just know, like I want to touch on it.
Okay, I feel like I have a lot to offer the people. I've such a bad relationship with sex, or I had such a bad relationship with sex. I feel like I have so much to offer because of where I've come from.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
feel free to ask me anything at any time. I'm down.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate the insight. We really do, and the willingness. Okay. I have here, what's your favorite part about doing porn, and then what's your least favorite part about doing porn?
My favorite part is how Mike spoils me.
Yeah. You're like the weed.
Honestly, so much because That just became my basis for what a sexual relationship should be like. Because even if I have a wall up between us emotionally, I still, we still talk about our lives. We still connect on just a non-sexual basis,
Right.
which is always something I've appreciated about him, because like a lot of people you talk to in the porn industry, and I feel like the porn industry could be a whole episode on itself because
Yes.
it's something that could be really difficult to navigate with how many people want you to be a certain image. But like, I know I didn't get into porn because I wanted to do porn. I got into porn because it seemed like a potentially safe outlet for me to gain confidence and courage and on a sexual plane, you
Yes.
know? So like the fact that he offered me a safe space to just be a person, be appreciated, be vulnerable, be sexual, and like be in that mindset physically, emotionally, mentally, without having to worry about like him giving me a random STD because we're professionals. We get tested all the time. Or like he's not going to switch up because why would he?
Right. Yeah. Pussy
You
too
know, my least favorite part is, I'm sorry, you guys, if you're listening to this, my scat following. Like, I'm a fucking freak and I'm down to do some weird shit, but people only want to see up my ass. And like, if I wasn't a germaphobe, maybe I'm probably about to hit people with, like, you know what? Maybe for $3,000, I'll shit on camera. You know?
absolutely. Yeah. Shit.
Maybe.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I'll cons like if y'all are willing to pay that price for that shit, I will put my germophobia aside and I will give you whatever ridiculous amount of money will make me feel comfortable to do it.
Yes.
But like, that is not where I want my following to be. I understand how I got here, but I don't like it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's totally okay to be able to switch, like even if you say that you did that in the beginning, like it's totally okay to change your preference, like any time.
Intentional. It's just like they abuse me, and when somebody is like fucking you all the way in the ass, and then they come as deep as they can, and then want you to push it out,
Ooh.
your content is gonna be messy.
Does that, did it hurt?
No.
Oh, I'm like, my butt is literally over here, like,
No, like, you know, there's a little pain when it comes down to like sex, but you also have to be in an allowing mindset, especially as like the receiver. Like, you know, there are a few things I can't tolerate, like dicks that are too pointy and too long.
oh yeah, hell yeah.
Just hurt,
Yeah.
you know? But like outside of that, if it's like, and then even then, like a pointy, narrow dick isn't gonna hurt you anally the way it is vaginally, because the anus isn't as restricted as the vagina, you know?
Right.
So like it does hurt sometimes, but like again, Mike is really good with me. So he knows to not like just jump into things. He
Okay.
understands the importance of foreplay, you know?
Yes.
So it's like when you're working with somebody like that who genuinely wants you to enjoy yourself and have a good time on top of like having fun with you,
Yeah.
then it's not hard to like be allowing and like be in the mindset of like, okay, yeah, he's pushing me a little bit, but like I can allow this. But then
Okay.
even like I remember there was a moment I was doing porn and I like put my hands up so that they would be out of frame and went like that. I didn't think he would know what I meant, but he stopped and I was like, you actually knew what I was saying? And
Wow.
it's like stuff like that, which is what allows me to be comfortable enough to like have rough anal with him.
Ah, I
Like that, you know?
understand. Yes. I got you. It's like the safety of knowing that somebody's not intentionally trying to violate you. Like
Yeah.
that, yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, that should be the norm in every sexual relationship. You know what I'm saying? But it,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
Yes.
I'm realizing now that technically my hands are still out of frame. I was going
In
like that.
my brain, I made it work. I swear, everything I love, I was like, man, she's probably going like.
For the non-visual watchers, I'm making the timeout symbol.
Thank you so much for explaining that. Sometimes I forget that people just listen to the audio. Now that I have video, I'm like, oh yeah, we can see each other. So thank you for that. If someone's interested in doing porn, what would one tip or piece of advice be from you?
I would say I always recommend shooting with Mike.
Okay.
Know, like with me, he's always been really good, always been really understanding, he's always like respected my boundaries, respected my feelings. If I needed to take a break, he didn't give me a problem. If I like wasn't feeling up to finishing a shoot, he didn't give me a problem. He was always working with me. So I always recommend him as a producer. It's like he's not making the most top quality stuff, but if you just want to get your foot in the door, have a video made, maybe show up on a website, build a following. He's an amazing person to work with in my experience. But
Okay.
I also recommend making a sexy jobs profile. That's
Okay.
a website where it's basically like a porn casting website,
Okay.
but it's also a website where you can like decide what position you want to be in. So like, do you want to do camera work, as in behind the camera? Do you want to do production work? Do you want to like produce? Do you want to model? Do you want to do actual porn? All that stuff. And it like puts you out there and then allows people to reach out to you. So then you can then talk to those people, see if you find anybody that you vibe with, a situation that you vibe with, or like reach out to people that you might follow and want to work with them, and
Right.
then go that way. There's also like the route of like home porn,
Okay.
which is like becoming viable, which like technically that's just what Mike is doing. He's just been doing it for so long that like people know him as a producer and not just like a guy shooting porn videos with random models in hotels, because that's all it is, you know? But it's like even like that, because like I have a friend who basically is doing the same thing or trying to do the same thing, because like he'll have sex with people and make videos of it and then put it out on like Minivids and OnlyFans and stuff like that. And then it's like, there's so many routes that you can go down. So if you want to like just do it in your home, just make solo stuff, there are so many websites that you can go on to put yourself out there. You don't even have to work with people. But even like being an attractive person on the internet, people will see that you have an OnlyFans and ask if you want to work with them, ask how much it costs to pay you to do stuff. So like literally all you have to do is put yourself out there and like people are gonna come.
I love that. You're like, just be your fabulous self.
Yeah, like if you put your, like, I mean, granted, I feel kind of disadvantaged as a conventionally attractive female-bodied individual. Like people always like to say, oh, you get sexualized because you do porn. No, I do porn because I started being sexualized before I hit puberty, you know? So it's like me putting myself in the situation where people can like see me in a sexual manner is not what caused the sexualization. It is just simply existing as, for one, as a female, because that's all it takes a lot of the time. Half the time, just existing as a vulnerable person, because both male and female children could get hands, apparently, you
Yes.
know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's more so a case of make sure that if you're going to put yourself out there like that, you have to be ready to stand your ground. Because, like, I've had people try to slut shame me, but it's like, how am I a slut if I'm only having sex with Mike? You know?
Yes.
Outside of that, like, I'm not having sex with people I'm in relationships with. I'm not having sex with just any old body. For one, after I quit porn, like, everybody got taken off the table. Like, I would have worked with anybody I felt comfortable with working with before I quit. And the only reason I still work with Mike is because he spoils me. You know, like, why would I say no to good dick, money, weed, food? I don't eat, like, I only stopped asking him for money because he was telling me about issues that he was, like, financial issues he was having taking care of his son. And at no point in my life am I gonna come between a person and their child, you know, even as like someone's sugar baby. I'm not gonna be like, oh, you're having a hard time paying for your son. Can I have like money though? No. No, like the fuck, take care of your son. And I'm pretty sure, like, even to this day, like sometimes I'll ask him for an advance. I'll ask him for money in advance. And then like I'll ask him for so much money where it's like, oh, he already paid me 400. But then when it comes time to pay me, he'll give me like an extra 100, extra 200. And I'm like, if you treat me like this, how am I supposed to leave?
Yeah, it's making it hard, no pun intended.
But like, to be in that situation where that is the only way that I am having sex, but then to be slut shamed, it's like, what do y'all even want? Because
Yeah.
even if I wasn't having sex before I did porn, y'all were slut shaming me because I wasn't into y'all. And the
Yeah.
worst part is, you could probably get away with that because before I started doing porn, I was having a hard time not having sex with somebody just because I like them. You know? And it's like, I don't want to have sex with somebody just because I like them. Then they switch up on me, and now I hate myself because I gave into the addiction.
Right. So with your sex addiction, do you feel like you have healed from that now, or do you feel like you're still working through temptation and things that normally will trigger an addiction?
I have, my boyfriend makes it a problem. Outside of him, it's not necessarily a problem.
Okay.
You know, because like, as far, he doesn't count for any situation because I cannot control myself with him. And that is not fair. And like, even sometimes I used to joke to my bro where it's like, bro, don't let me have sex with this dude. I cannot consent to having sex with him because whatever he says, I'm just gonna do. Because that's what I want to do. I want to do what he tells me to do. As therefore, I cannot consent. So if I have sex with him, beat him up. And then, it's like outside of that, super hard because my soul wants to give it all to him.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's just like, you know what? I would like to have sex with you, but your dick is probably not big enough for me. I'm a size queen,
Oh,
sadly.
you
Sadly.
are. Oh, you're an anatomy.
It's like your dick probably isn't big enough. You're probably not dedicated to like my pleasure. Plus, I might be a succubus. You know, I'm one of those people where it's like if you give me a powerful enough orgasm, even if you like make me come so many times that I like pass out when I wake up, I'm jumping your bones again. You know, a lot of people they can't keep up with that. And
Okay.
it's like you can't just unlock the demon and then be like, no, I'm sore. What do you mean sore?
Right.
The sun didn't even come up yet. We still have time together. What do you mean you're done? You know? So it's like doing porn definitely made it a lot harder for me to indulge in just casual sex with people because, like, for one, you're not gonna pay me.
Right.
You're not
Yeah.
gonna control your weed. You're
Yeah.
not gonna me. You're
Yeah.
not gonna tell me how amazing my pussy is. You're not gonna boast to the other nigga that was shooting with us. You're, like, I don't remember the amount of times I left a shoot listening to him and the other dude just talk about how good my fucking pussy is. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Is it really that good that we have to talk about it? I'm right here, you guys. I haven't left yet. I'm just like, I can hear you in the bathroom.
You couldn't wait till I left? Jeez Louise.
Not gonna hype me up like that. So it's like, why put myself in a situation where I'm gonna have sex with somebody just because I like them, when I could just hold out and have sex with Mike.
Yeah, who's fucking that? But since you're poly, would you ever be open if you met somebody else with the proper girth length, with connection? Would you be able, do you think, to divide the two or like be into those two relationships?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so your heart
Totally.
is open, but you just, it's just bae right now.
Yeah, like sex is just weird for me in general. Like, if I like you, I will slut it up for you. You know, we can do some freak nasty things. I will sit here and pretend that I'm not a germaphobe,
Okay.
you know? Then I can get into it. But if I don't like you on that level, then I'm just gonna be like, no, thanks. I
Yeah.
don't. I'm that's gross.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a demisexual problem. Like that I can highly fucking relate to that. Like, 'cause the con now it's not, people think that, oh, you just have to have a connection. No, I want to have a deep connection. Like I can connect with this bedpost right here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I literally want to like feel like you really care and you really care about my pleasure, et cetera, et cetera. So how does your pansexuality mesh and live aside your asexuality?
Honestly, like I I feel like because of my trauma, I allow myself to just be in that asexual mindset. Like I have types, but I'm also not a person that is restrained by that those types. Like all I ask from my partner is that I like your face and you make me happy. You know? Like if you are a person that looks like seems like a reflection of me, I'm probably going to be obsessed with you because I'm a narcissist, you know? So it's
Absolutely.
like all I really want from a person is for them to make me feel safe, you know? Be somebody that I can click with, that I can like cause chaos with, somebody that is going to challenge me and keep me accountable. And but like I don't know. Like I feel like if I have that with a person, then it's going to unlock the sexual side. But like if I don't feel safe with you, if I don't feel like I could be myself with you, then I'm not going to want to have that sexual relationship with you.
A 1000 fucking percent. Highly agreed. I'm trying to figure out like where my sexual energy also derives from. Like if I meet somebody and I feel like they can unlock that sexual side of me, like what's the healthy side of the sexual side of me? You know what I'm saying? Like where I just want to be intimate, I just want to exchange good energy with you, et cetera, et cetera. And then what's the side of me that is like kind of almost like back in the day when I used to have just like casual sex and shit like that? Like I feel like some of the toxicness still lingers because my casual sex wasn't healthy casual sex. Like it was, you know what I'm saying? It was me trying to, I think personally for me, I was having daddy issues. And I only say that because ever since I've been good with my dad, this is the first year that we've been like consistently good. And this is the first year that I have not fiend for a partner. But then there were times in my life this year where I felt this like deep sense of loneliness. So I'm like, and I wanted to fill it quickly, but I didn't fill my pussy. I found other fucking ways, like getting drunk. I'm just trying to figure out like what where these energies.
Honestly, I know that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that I didn't realize that my dad kind of sucked until I was an adult because I'm so happy. Like, I have very bad mommy issues, but I am so glad that I didn't get the double whammy of mommy and daddy issues. Like, my dad was a decent father, which is like my standard has always been here for men because despite the fact that I grew up with like I grew up with stepmom issues. I hated my stepmom until my 20s because like I love my dad. My dad was my favorite parent. Well, my dad is my favorite parent. I love my mom, but my dad's always been a daddy's girl. My like I like to say my dad is the reason for my personality and my mom is the reason for my trauma. But growing up, I resented my stepmom because I felt like she was replacing me. I resented my little sister because I felt like she was replacing me until I became an adult and stopped being a little bitch and realized that, wait, no, my stepmom is literally my biggest fan. She has been repping for me since day one. She will tell people, this is my daughter. This is my firstborn. You know, look how talented they are. And I'm just like, why? Like, my little sister literally looks up to me so bad. Why am I resenting these people that like love the fuck out of me, you know? But like after becoming an adult and realizing like my dad was there. My dad to this day, if I need him, he is a phone call away. He sucks at emotion, but like I talked to him one day. He was like, "Oh, you still having panic attacks?" After I had a panic attack in front of him one time, he's always asking me that. And I'm like, "Why do you ask me that? You are the worst person to be around when I'm having a panic attack. You handle it so terribly. Why do you keep at they don't just go away." Like, I haven't had a panic attack in a few months, but like that doesn't mean I'm not gonna have one tomorrow, you know?
It's like being like, you still have an asthma.
So it's like I realize that he sucks, but as far as fathers go, he's been around. He's been present. Like my mom would call him and be like, "Ashley did this and she has they're so bad and you need to blah blah." And he would come and he would pick me up and hang out with me and try to talk to me about it. So it's like my standard for men is not in hell. It's at least up to the knees because my father was decent, you know? Plus, a lot of people don't even have a father, you know? Like I could say that my dad met my mom, my second mom, because he went to go open a college fund for me, you know? Which is ironic because like I'm the reason that they're together.
Wow. You're
It's
like,
just how many people could say that? Even like when I was an adult, he gave me that money so I could like I bought a heat press and a cutter and a laptop with it so I could do creative
wow.
stuff because he at the very least has always supported me creatively,
I
you
love
know? So like
it.
I love that I realized, oh, he kind of sucked because like my mom, she probably hated me because he was abusing her. I think my some of my deformities stem from him abusing her while I was in her womb.
Wow.
And like I feel like that's because like I do a lot of regression
Yeah.
while I'm on LSD. And like one time I got brought back to a moment where I was in the womb and I was like, what if I had scoliosis? Because my dad hit my mom and it fucked up my spine. But like I'm also not ready to die. Like I want to ask my mom so bad, like, am I a rape baby?
Oh my God, when it comes to asking parents fucking questions, when the fuck you know that you're prepared for the answer? Oh
Because like if she
my
says yes, I understand why you acted like you hated me. I get
God.
it. I
Wow.
get it. I don't want to know the answer because from what I heard, like I can acknowledge the fact that my dad is not the man he used to be. He is not that person anymore, at least from what I've seen. And I would like to believe that if he had just stayed the same or gotten worse, my second mom would have stayed for as long as she did. Because she, like, I love my second mom. She is the type of mother I would like to be. I like to describe her as Linda from Bob's Burgers
Okay.
because that is literally who she is, and I've always wanted to be Linda from Bob's Burgers. That is me as a mother and a wife. So just the fact that she is that, I adore her, you know? But she is
Absolutely.
also a strong-willed woman. So I feel like if my dad was still a piece of shit, she wouldn't still be around, you know? But also at the same time, my dad has his own traumas being a cishet male, a cishet black male. So like you know, I tried to be understanding and I just appreciate the fact that I realized he sucked as
Yeah.
an adult because I could just imagine being in that shitty situation where you don't at the very least have your father to call on at the very minimum, even if it's just like because like I've had conversations with my dad before. I don't feel comfortable talking to my dad about everything because he is a very Christian man. So
Okay.
trying to explain to him why my little sister made me cry because she was being homophobic to my father, who she probably learned that shit from, is a very difficult conversation to navigate. But the fact that like we still had that conversation and like I tried to tell him that I was upset because she was saying homophobic things and I'm bi without saying it. And he was still a father, you know?
Okay.
Which is why I always feel like if I try to have a serious conversation about my identity and my sexuality with him, I feel like he would try to understand.
Okay.
You know, because he's the type of person to be like, I don't agree with your life choices, but if they make you happy, I support it, you know?
Really?
So I'm always appreciative that I didn't have to deal with his trauma because my mom's trauma is already too much, you know? And
Yeah.
it's like I already attract the wrong people and have to deal with so many negative situations because of the things that I'm used to growing up, you know? So it's like if I had the double whammy, I don't know if I would have like survived my 16th birthday because I was totally gonna kill myself on my 16th birthday, but my friend convinced me not to. So I'm
Okay.
like, if I also had the daddy issues, I would probably would have said fuck it.
The fact that you can talk about like not wanting to be here freely, because that's a topic that I speak a lot about, and I feel like it's so like fucking taboo, but it's life as shit. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a talk aboutable thing. So thank you for your
I
transparency.
wish it wasn't so taboo because, like, I don't know, I'm the type of person where I'm not, I don't know if I can consider myself not suicidal anymore.
Okay.
You know, if life wants to take me out, I'm gonna be appreciative, but I'm not, I've stopped trying to kill myself.
I feel that so Deeply, I feel like I say such like what people consider like morbid or like dark humor type shit, and they think I'm joking, but it's like, no, I'm okay. You like, we can laugh, but this is not.
Fun.
Oh, no, yeah, like this is like, are we all living the same life? Like, I know we're not living in the same circumstances, but like the world. When my therapist told me that, like, everybody, not everybody, if they're, if some, the people that are not aware of things, just fuck them, but the people that are aware, like, people get tired of fucking life, like, and that took a lot of pressure off of me. Cause I'm like, I just want to sleep for a really long time sometimes, for like sometimes forever, and that's okay. Like, and we make it through. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it feels as heavy when you can acknowledge it, and then it's like, okay,
Yeah.
yeah. So
And I
think.
feel like there's nothing wrong with like talking about it and expressing it. Even though sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm very open with my desire to die. And I feel like the people around me would take that more serious because, like, you know, sometimes you're expressing it because, you know, you guys, I'm getting to a point where I just might
Right.
overdose on some chloroform or some shit. Like, it's getting to the danger zone, and I wish we would take these feelings more serious.
Yes.
But other times, it's just like, no, like, we should be allowed to talk about our desire to not want to live because society is fucked. We are
Yes.
all fucked in certain ways, and we can't even be in that fuckedness without people making it a whole ordeal, you
Yes.
know?
Yes. I feel like there should be like a word that we can say, like pumpernickel, because nobody really uses that word. Where it's like, okay, if I really, really, really am like committing in my head to like possibly taking action to the suicidal ideations, then I say pumpernickel, and you know I'm being dead ass. But if I'm fucking like ha ha hee hee, and there's no pumpernickel involved, Brett, I'm good. This is healthy.
Yeah, like, we need a way to differentiate between dark humor, and this is a warning, you guys.
Yes, literally, I'm actually crying out for help right now. Y'all are commenting LOL. This is not one of those times. Like, oh my God, I told my friend I was having a panic attack one morning, and she was like, but I said LOL. I made it a joke. And then she texted me, it was like, I hope all is well. And I
Oh, no.
was like, I've been having a panic attack. But then I told other people, and they were like, well, you made it humorous. And I'm like, but you should fucking know me. Like, so. Yeah, I should have said pumpernickel, and then maybe she would have like understood it. Maybe I need another word for anxiety. I'll figure it out. But thank you.
I don't know. I feel like it takes a certain type of person to realize that, like, LOL is a buffer. It's like a lot of times people will say, put like, they'll use LOL or put emojis because they don't want you to take what they're sa saying so serious, which is why
Yes.
some I have to remind myself, like, don't use an emoji. Don't say LOL. I know it changes the, like, it feels like it changes the context of what you're saying, but just say it.
Yes.
Put a period.
Yes. Let me know you really fucking mean it. Seriously, I'm such an LOLer and I'm such an emojier. And it's like sometimes you don't even just say the shit. Just fucking say it. Say
Just
what
say it.
you say. That I just sang that song the other day on another episode. The song is
It's
funny.
like, no matter what you do, they're gonna take it however they take it. So just say it.
Just literally say it. Literally. And then remember that none of this is matters. All this is nothing and meaningless. And life is fucking life. Okay. The last piece that I'm gonna leave us on for this episode, but we're coming back, y'all. We're coming the fuck back. Is you had asked how for tips on how to enjoy sex more. So as much as I would have loved to answer this on my own, it's something that I too struggle with. So we're gonna learn together on this one. And I found two articles. So we'll read the first one, see if we really feel like, oh, this really helped. And then if it did, then great, we'll stick with that one. But if we're like, oh, this sucks, then we'll move on to the second one. As soon as I learn how to work my phone. Okay. So this is gonna come from wellbeing.jhu.edu. And it says sexual pleasure after sexual trauma. So I feel like this relates to what we were talking about. And this is a quote. It says, pleasure is a feeling of happy satisfaction and enjoyment. Activism consists of efforts to promote, impede, or direct social, political, economic, or environmental reform or stasis with the desire to make improvements of society. Pleasure activism is the work we do to reclaim our whole, happy, satisfiable selves from the impacts, delusions, and limitations of oppression and/or supremacy. Damn! That's from Adrienne Marie Brown. Okay. Let me scroll through this and make sure this is fucking relevant. All right, I should have done this before I even had the link. But let's see. It says in the English language of Robin Hood, Robin and his merry band of thieves famously steal from the rich and give to the poor. But before the actions of the outlaws, the in charge of outlaws of the story, in I hope this gets better. Stay with me. Enrich themselves through excessive and unjust. Okay, we're skipping this. I don't give a fuck about Peter Pan. Okay. Trauma, particularly the trauma of. Did you care about Peter Pan?
Not really.
Okay,
I
okay.
think you mean Robin Hood.
Oh shit, Robin Hood. Did you? It's like I keep reading this part. Did you want me to reread that part with the Robin Hood?
No.
Okay, because I couldn't really relate. I was like, I'm kind of hanging there. Okay, trauma, particularly the trauma of sexual or gender-based violence, GBV, also relies on abuse of power, manipulation, and exploitation. It is also a relentless thief. What does trauma tend to steal? It frequently targets your sense of safety, your ability to trust, your view of the world. It might steal your view of yourself, your psychological and emotional well-being, or your concentration and focus. It takes your time, so much time, as well as all the things you could have spent your time on if this hadn't occurred. It often goes after your sense of autonomy, your relationship with your body, your relationship with your sexuality, including the ability to experience sexual pleasure, even within the boundaries of a safe, informed, and enthusiastically consented to sexual experience. Come on, enthusiastic consent. What does healing from trauma look like? While trauma generally needs to be processed, one important aspect is reclaiming what, in a fair and just society, is your right to have, your right to safety or safe enoughness, your right to be able to form relationships of trust, your right to be wise, your right to a wise and compassionate relationship with your internal psychological processes, your right to your body belonging to you, feeling good for you, and being able to feel good with others when you choose so. While all of these aspects deserve time and attention and patience and compassion, as healing is not a linear path or something that needs that will look the same for all people, we wanted to offer some thoughts today on sexual pleasure after trauma, particularly as this often can feel taboo to discuss. It says a couple of thoughts to get into before we get into specific strategies. While rape is categorically not sex, rape and sexual assault, harassment, and GBV can make sexual encounters slash sensations triggering for people, meaning the components of the trauma memory from the past can get associated with experiences in the present, thus activating the trauma response. If this happens to you, it does not mean that you are doing something wrong. And if a partner is present, it does not always mean that your partner is doing something wrong. It does mean there is work to do. And the nice part is the work can be pleasurable. And then the next note is pleasure, the feeling of enjoyment, is integral to healing from trauma. While desensitizing or numbing oneself to the pain of the trauma is a survival strategy many people need to employ at various times, it is not the same as healing from trauma. Healing involves the work of the survivor to actively integrate back to an ability to feel good, to experience a sense of aliveness and enjoyment. Sexual pleasure is not the only way to feel alive by any means, but it is an important one for many people to reclaim. The following list suggests ways to go about your process of reclaiming. All right. Sexual pleasure by yourself. Sexual pleasure, and it's like noted like this, like it's like little boldness and then
Like, I'm
sex.
literally listening to you to read this, and I'm just like thinking about my experience with porn because that's literally what I did. And now it's like, I'm like, okay, so like, what is the next step? Masturbating? Because like, my body is weird, you know? It turns off if I don't want to feel something, but I don't want to be like that when I'm having sex with somebody. But at the same time, like, there are parts of me that get overstimulated, and the stimulation becomes like too much to the point where I can't come from that because it just feels like too much. But then it's like, I don't know. I don't know. This is why I'm super excited about that toy you recommended,
Yes.
because if it could, because I like the way I look at it, if I squirt, I can't say I didn't have an orgasm. I can't confuse the orgasm because my body literally showed me that it had a release, you know? So it's like maybe that might be the next step to actually enjoying it, because like there could be that block there of like, can I even enjoy sex outside of the mental aspect? And is it one of those things where it's like, do I re need to like hit the shame associated with the masturbation at the core? And like, because like I'm not big on masturbating in
Okay.
general. I like, I don't know. I'm more of a toy person, but I
Okay.
don't like toys. I don't like the sensation of toys. So I'm more of like, I like doing it with people, but like, it's hard for me to come. And I don't know if that's on trauma or just because I need certain things. You know, being in a female body, it's always difficult to get that nut if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I
You
understand.
know? So
Yeah.
it's like maybe the next step could be that aspect, but then even that is hard because as an asexual, it's not really something that I want to like dive into, because it's like, oh yeah, let me just touch myself sensually, but like I'm not really into that.
I understand. Okay, so what do you think that you okay. So when it comes to the sex toy, I would say I love it because, and we're talking about the Nami. I love it
Yeah.
because you can toggle either one, right? You have the suction at the top and you have the vibration at the bottom. And the vibrational patterns for the first, like for the first setting for the top and the first setting for the bottom one are literally not overwhelming, which I appreciate. Like it's not like the Hitachi to where it just starts off like straight fucking just sensory overload. It's just like cheated, you know? It's not I need it just to get a good quick nut, pull out the Hitachi and call it a day. But when I want to be more like methodical, I was gonna ask, since like maybe you say sensual touch doesn't necessarily help you. Like for me, I felt like my masturbation was so unconscious sometimes. Like I would just do it to get the nut that I stopped trying to make it an experience. So I think that like even if you don't care for sensual touching, like for me, I played music one time from like my masturbation playlist, and I just danced around my room and I had the toy, and then I would just like kind of rub the toy like on my clit and like not even like with it on, just like getting like you know like I'm fucking just dancing with the toy. Like I wonder if it's some type of experience that you can have that can feel orgasmic along with like that can lead up almost like foreplay that makes you feel good, even if it's fucking creative foreplay. Like maybe you get dressed up for yourself. And like maybe you'll turn yourself on in that way, you know, or I don't know, something outside of the norm and outside of just the toy that can help you feel like you're having a full experience. So you're not even that focused on the orgasm. Like I've been edging lately too, and that's been really helpful to get me from focusing on the orgasm. Like very, very helpful and making me stay in my body. So
It could also just be like a matter of being in that sexual energy, you
yeah.
know, just like feeling yourself and not like a literal feeling yourself kind of way, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't know, it feels so weird trying to tackle sexual trauma as a person that does not identify with my body, you know? Where
Yes.
it's like, even if I had the parts that I wanted, I still wouldn't be sexual to myself and wouldn't like be into like touching myself and like playing with myself. I'm not really one of those people that like, even when I masturbate, I'm thinking of like a scenario in which I'm being used, in which I'm like giving pleasure to somebody else. It's never just like, ah, oh, yes, this feels good. It's like, ah, oh, yes, daddy, use me, have your friends use me, fill me with cum, yes, you know? So
Oh.
it's not like, which is what why I don't really do it that often, because where it's like I don't know, I don't want to think about somebody doing things to me. I want somebody to do things to me.
No, I fully understand. And I think that that's okay. Like, I think it's okay. Like, when I fantasize about some other people doing certain things to me. Have you ever fantasized about like your somebody's getting down on the saxophone outside? I don't know what the fuck is happening, but there's literally somebody on the saxophone.
No.
But have you, when you imagine things, have you ever tried like, well, let me just ask, do you look at yourself when you're having these imaginings of somebody using you, or are you looking more at them? Like, which point of view are you in?
It depends, because there are like certain times where I want to watch myself do things to
Okay.
me, But I think that's just something, like, I don't know, I'm a fucking weirdo. I like details. So
Okay.
it's like just a close up of like watching something going in and out of me. I find kind of pleasurable at times.
Okay.
Other times it's just like, no, I'm living a scenario, like I'm just living my day with a fucking dildo in my ass, just having the fantasy play out in my head. You know, it's not always a matter of just like, ah, yes, now I have to actively be masturbating to indulge in the act of masturbating.
I understand. I fully understand. I feel like the thing about masturbation is it has to be something that you love, and it will take a it might take some time to learn that. Like, it's just like
Yeah.
I put pressure on myself to heal from my sexual trauma. And then the other day when I had therapy, I realized like it's only been less than a fucking year of me facing two back-to-back traumas last year. Like, and so when I give myself that time to like really just fucking be and navigate it and not rush it. I feel like it's I understand my desire to want to heal, and I am healing throughout this. And so I feel the same for you. Like, I don't think it's rushing it, but I think that it takes time. And I feel like as much as I talk about masturbation and I'm like masturbation positive, it's not always easy. There was a whole fucking month where I could not like be turned on. I couldn't turn myself on. I was so just having an outer body experience. Like, I don't know, but I wanted to ask you, do you feel safe in your body?
I don't know. I hate having a body. So, like, I feel like not until recently did I have a good relationship with my body. And that wasn't until like after 19 when I stopped like allowing myself to be taken advantage of. And I stopped like putting myself in situations where I could possibly get raped or possibly get hurt, you know? And then after that, it became a matter of, so this is me, and I have to take care of me, and I have to make sure that I'm okay. And then after that, it became a case of like, okay, well, I don't really know what it means to identify as a person. I don't really know if that's like on not being allowed to be a person when I was growing up, or just a means of I'm so myself that I don't think about what it means to be myself. Because I don't know what it means to try and be me. I just feel what I feel, react how I react, and try to be the best version of me, you know? So then it's like when you consider that, it's like I don't like having a body because it's heavy and it, like, I want to do so many things, but then I feel weak. But then it's like, you got to be stronger. But then it's like, then that means I got to eat and then I got to work out and I got to do all these things. But I'm not comfortable being in a female body, and bodies are covered, they're gross and they're sweaty and they're all this stuff. But then that's nothing against me. That's just bodies in general, where it's like, I will tolerate the fact that I'm a disgusting human because I'm me and I can't stop being me. You know, which is why it's like, if I like you, I'll tolerate your disgusting humanness. But at the same time, it's like, I think there's a separation between mind, body, and spirit for me, not necessarily where they're all existing separately, but where every aspect is looking at every other aspect from an individual plane in which, like, the mind has to take care of the body. The body and the mind have to take care of the heart. And the heart has to, like, you know, vice versa, where it's like everything has to be working in tandem. Like, I have to make sure that I'm following my heart, but I'm not forgetting my logic, but I'm also making sure that my body is comfortable, you know? So it's like just them going in tandem to the point where it's like, I hate having a body, but I like my body. Like, I like myself. I think I'm moderately attractive.
A
I
bad
mean,
bitch.
granted. Like, there are two ways I see myself. I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I'm okay. You know, I can see why people like me. And then there's just other angles where I'm like, that's a goddess right there.
Absolutely.
Like, honestly, I feel like, as far as I feel like masturbation could be one of those things that falls under a broad spectrum, like meditation. Because meditation isn't just sitting still and like being present. Meditation could be biking, walking, of like exercising, just being present with yourself. So I feel like certain things, like I don't know. Like, as I said, I love watching your journey. So the fact that you started like pole dancing and belly dancing. I feel like those are things that, like me personally, I could do to get more in touch with that sexual side, as a, like opposed to just masturbating, because it's one of those things that makes you present in your body and move your body and really like, oh, I can hold myself up on the pole. I got this. I'm strong. I'm sexy. I'm confident without having to be sexual, you
Yes.
know?
Yes. A billion quadrillion fucking percent. You hit the nail on the head. That's it. Like, yeah, fuck the masturbation right now. Like, you don't have to, your heart will know when you're ready for it. But that definitely has helped my journey so fucking much. The belly dancing, the pole dancing. And I tried some things that made my shit worse. Like, I tried a boudoir shoot. Granted, if I had the right photographer, I would have felt so fucking reclaimed and like, so, oh, this is the start of my beautiful journey. No, she was, that's another story for another fucking time, but it just didn't make me feel, you know?
I cannot express the importance of a good photographer. As somebody who has tried modeling in New York, a
Oh.
lot of people are only like out here to take advantage of people.
Yes.
Like a good photographer will let you just move freely, give like tell you what they're looking for, help you feel comfortable, like direct you, compared to like people that just want sexy photos of people that they're attracted to for their own portfolio and their own use.
Thank
You know,
you.
but like when it comes, like a good photo shoot will do wonders for you. Even if like you don't feel confident, you see that one photo that's just like, that's me.
Yes.
You put that up on your wall, and every time you feel in self-conscious, you just look at me like, no, I need to forget all my insecurities because that's me.
That's me. That's why I became a photographer, because I had so much fucking trauma with my photographers in Atlanta. Atlanta and New York are the damn near the same beast when it comes to creation. So literally, it's all right. So fucking much, like, I see the criticism and weirdness and predatoriness and just a whole bunch of shit. So highly agreed about the good photographer. And I love that tip about putting a picture up of yourself that you love and like falling in love with yourself again through the picture. And I also, like I said, love the idea of doing certain things to help you just physically feel more confident within yourself, because I'm still transforming my relationship with masturbation. Honestly, when I was able to allow my body to relax enough to be able to squirt, because that's like a feat for me, that's when I realized, okay, I feel like my relationship has gotten a bit healthier with masturbation. And when I allowed myself to really edge, like to just practice edging, no pressure to come, but like the fact that I was always so close and then did it, like that was very, very helpful. But I love the aspect of finding pleasure for your body in different ways, because I like being on the pole is orgasmic, not even and like in the best way. Like, and I think that my lesbian relationship really taught me that. Like, with my poly partner, like she really said that orgasms are a heterosexual, some heterosexual shit. Like, it makes you know what I'm saying? It's like, but the whole experience is supposed to be orgasmic. Like, I want my life to feel orgasmic. So yeah, I hope to see you on a fucking on your pole or take a class. To me, there is, there's also, I haven't had a pole at home yet. I told you I really want one, so I'm excited about that. And I feel like I'll be able to explore myself so much differently at home. But also, I think that being out and finding the right studio, like in Brooklyn, I went to Full Circle Pole. And I had also gone to another pole studio that was like, sorry, we did way more talking than dancing, but okay. But Full Circle, I felt safe there. I felt like the teacher cared. I felt like the people in the class were non-judgmental. Like, and I've been in situations in dance where I haven't felt like I was at home, you know? So I think that like finding the right studio is helpful. They got the lights, they have the fucking different music and shit. Yeah, so.
It's so important because, like, for one, something I wanted to say in regards to earlier about you becoming a photographer, that is like literally you being the change that you want to see in the world. And that is like the greatest thing ever. But, like, two, as a weak bitch, I cannot stress the importance of like a comfortable space. Because, like, when I took pole classes, I was terrified of being made fun of because there's no strength in these arms. I am not holding anything up. But, like, when you go to a good class, and, like, for one, the teacher didn't believe I was as weak as I made myself out to be. But I'm like, no, I'm giving it my all right now. I am working with noodles. I am not holding anything up. But the fact that they never like made fun of me for that or held it against me, they just encouraged me to like push myself harder. That is so important. Like, I don't know. I recommend having a pole in your room. I never do anything on this thing, but sometimes I will try to climb it. Like, if
Okay.
You know how sometimes you get the zoomies? I will get the zoomies and try to like, I will jump on it. Like when I like, there'll be moments where I'm just going crazy dancing in my room, and I'll just be swinging around the fucking wall, having the time of my goddamn life. And it's like, granted, like if I think I can unscrew it so it rotates,
Okay,
but
yeah.
I'm terrified of it falling. So like, I just spin, and it's like just that in itself is
Yes.
so fun. And
Yes.
it like, I don't know, like I feel like they're just, I don't know, I want to do more pole dancing, more belly dancing, because I feel like they're so fun, and they're gonna like connect me to my body. To just like, for one, I believe moving your body is important in general.
Number
Just
one.
moving it in a manner that makes you, for one, it keeps you young, keeps you loose. But like, I don't know, because I have scoliosis, so my hip bone leans forward, which makes twerking hard for me.
Okay.
So not only does it feel awkward, because I want to say I'm not that gay, but that would insinuate that twerking is a gay thing. But like, as a person that identifies as a male, I just do not feel comfortable throwing my booty meat around. I do try every now and then, because they say that like twerking is a good way to get in touch with your feminine energy and unlock your, I believe, your sacral chakra.
That's what things
So
are built. Yeah.
I'll do it for that, but like, for somebody else's pleasure, no. But I also feel like there's an importance in moving your body like that, and like releasing that energy, and releasing that, like, you know, stimulate those chakras so that you actually get that energy flowing. And I feel like dancing could be a good non-sexual way to like really radiate that sexual energy without it being, you know, too much. Because, you
Yeah.
know, like if you're asexual, you're not going to want to masturbate, but like dancing and feeling sexy,
Yes.
that's doable.
Yes, and I didn't even think about the aspect of asexuality with masturbation. Like I want to do so much more research now on asexuality because I thought about it with a partner, and I have considered it with masturbation as well, but I didn't even, when sharing those tips, like didn't even include that in the equation. And I just like to like because does your asexuality fluctuate to where like sometimes you do have desires with self, or has it just been straight, no, not being turned on by yourself, like really enjoying?
Like, I don't know. I will say, blanket statement, it fluctuates for every asexual, because every asexual has a different relationship with sex. As
Absolutely.
far as I go, like, if I'm not in a sexual relationship and I'm not with somebody who is stimulating my mind in a sexual manner, my sexuality will just like drop off. Like, if I'm actively shooting with Mike, then I'm more prone to like having those thoughts. But I think that's also tying back to like the mindset of like, you know, I'm actively having sex, actively being used, actively like being put in a situation where I can feel the things that make me feel sexual, compared to like if I'm just living my life and there's no sexual stimuli and there's nobody that I like or I'm attracted to around me. Not that I'm not attracted to myself, but also like, I don't know, it's me, you know, and like not another version of me. So like, I'm pretty sure if I had another version of me, then I would want to fuck me. But like, as me, I want to be fucked, you know? So I don't necessarily want to fuck myself or like masturbate, unless it, because like, bringing it back, like, I don't really have those moments where it's like, oh, I want to touch myself because it feels good, because that's not what feels good to me. It's the idea.
Yes, I
But
and
like,
I'm sorry.
no, I'm just like thinking, like, I don't think there's ever a moment where it's just like, yeah, you're hot, I wanna fuck you, or I just wanna like feel the pleasure. 'Cause I don't know, like, outside of a kink mind space, that's not really where my head is at. And again, I don't know if that's on sexuality or trauma.
To say full transparency, I don't really remember times where I've looked at myself and thought like, oh damn, you a bad bitch, let me go masturbate. Like I can't wait to get to that point, but I don't think I have. I think that for me internally, like yesterday I went to masturbate so bad, but I was on my cycle and I was like, I don't feel like it, that's a lot. But and like shout out to people who do it, I just didn't feel like it. But I had such a good like therapy session of just like feeling so good about myself afterwards. And then like the entire day, like I just felt so good about myself that I was like, okay, I fucking like deserve this like orgasm. Like, I just want to, I don't know, like I just felt some fucking tingling shit in my like sacral, sacral, whatever chakra and like my vagina. But at the same time, like I remember what you said about masturbating back in the day and then shame. That shit can really be embedded. Like my mom, I think you know the story, like bought me a vibrator when I was 16. So of course I'm gonna be masturbation positive, you know? But like, of course you might have some struggles because there was that shame, even thinking about your teachers and like the outside world, you know? So I think that you're on like a great fucking path when it comes to this. And the fact that you're finding different ways, like outside of just straight up masturbation to make yourself feel pleasure, I think that that's the most like important ass part. Like I can't wait to hear like what your experience is with the NAMI. But I do think you're doing great. I do want to read this one part. I don't even know if this is going to be helpful.
Yeah.
But then after this, I'm going to do some more research. And then during our next episode, I'll be able to tell to share some more with you about like what I've learned in regards to like asexuality, masturbation, and just like getting back in touch with our bodies as a whole.
Oh, one more thing that I want to add, though.
Yes.
Like, I can definitely say the more that I've learned about myself sexually and the more trauma that I've healed, it has definitely led to me like masturbating less.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
like it's shameful to admit that I used like I've ma I masturbated maybe 10 times more, not even 10 times because I barely masturbate. I've masturbated maybe 100 times more when I was younger than I do now.
wow. That's so interesting. I wonder, I'm sure that there are other people out there who's like who can highly relate to that. Because I'm trying to look back on my masturbation experiences, but I also because I was a virgin for so fucking long, like for 24, I feel like that was my main premise of getting off. So I feel like I was pretty consistent with, like I've stayed pretty consistent.
I can see that. Like, it's easier to stick with when that's like all you really know. But honestly, that's such a good place to be because then you don't have to worry about like people fucking up your energy or your fucking pH balance.
Oh, that fucking part. Yeah, and then the people that I was having sex with, they weren't making me nut. Only my fucking toys were. So I wasn't finding pleasure. Oh, and also earlier you mentioned penetration. And I wanted to say that I think the statistic is like only 30 or 39% of women are able to orgasm of penetrative stimulation alone. Like, but most other women also need the clitoral stimulation or anal stimulation
Yeah.
or like the shebang. Like you said, like all fucking three, like just fucking go for it. So yeah, thank you for
It's
that.
some type of foreplay. Like, if you're not going to get the person to the state where it's like every touch that you give them is enough to make them come, then like you have to put in the work.
Thank you. Exactly. Literally, exactly. But please put that right as writing in the sky so that everybody fucking knows, like foreplay regardless. But I want to wrap this episode up by you sharing everything that you're up to. No, first I want you to share one thing that you're super proud of yourself about right now.
Honestly, I'm so proud of like the healing I've actually done because like a lot of the shit that I've done, like I have tried therapy, but I'm not a believer in therapy because it's so hard to find an actual therapist that's going to call you out on your shit. And I don't even think therapy is set up in a manner where they're supposed to like tell you about yourself and give you the proper tools to like work on yourself, but also I feel like we don't need therapists. We just need people who give a fuck about us. Because why do I need to pay somebody to listen to me? Anyway, a lot of my shit has been self-done, and the fact that I've been dedicated enough to get myself to the point where I don't actively want to kill myself, like, you know, if a truck were to hit me, the last thing I'm gonna say is, "Oh, thank God." Like, I'm not playing in traffic, you know?
Yes,
And the point where
absolutely.
it's like, it sucks, but if I keep going and I keep pushing for it, it's gonna get better because I'm gonna make it better. I'm just happy to have made it to that point because there is nothing more important to me than my inner child. And if I can give them a safe place, and if I could be the safe place in the world for them, where it's like at the end of the day, I have my back and I'm going to protect me and I'm going to keep me safe. Like the fact that I'm closer to that every day, I'm so proud of that.
I'm giving it up for you, and I'm imagining my imaginary audience giving it up for you too. I'm so fucking proud of you. And the thing I was gonna say about my proudness for you was one tidbit back. I am an advocate for therapy, but I understand that my mom and I talk about this all the time. Like, talk therapy does not work for everybody. Like, I like talk therapy for myself, but my therapist makes me do like brain spotting and stuff like that. And my mom's therapist, they do like parts work. So there are so many different types of like ideology, I don't know, there's some word, but there are different types of modalities that different therapists can
Yeah.
use. But I think that you are a great testament that there are, like, because I also know that therapy is not accessible for everybody. And I also know that I was very, very highly blessed to find a therapist that I have, because she does call me out on my shit. But there are some therapists who just got out of school and just are doing this shit for money and don't care about their clients. So it's like such duality. So I understand and respect your experience. But I'm so proud of you, because there are some people who be like, oh, I don't believe in therapy. And then they'd be like, oh, I'm doing the work. But you're like, they are not fucking doing the work. Are you okay? And I look at you, and I think you are such a good testament of somebody who really is doing the work, who really has like focused on certain aspects of their life. You have like the verbiage, you have the tools, it sounds like, to really continue to heal yourself. And you're doing such a great fucking job. Like, you really are. So kudos to you. I remember old Instagram posts that I've seen, but I've slid in your DMs like, hey girl, I'm sending you so long, you know what I'm saying? Or hey, you know, like, just wanted to like just check in on you, or whatever the case may be. And so you've really, really made it like just so incredibly far. And I'm so proud of you for feeling the emotions, riding the roller coaster, doing the exploring and all of that. Like, this version of you is just such a beautiful one to be able to experience. And all other versions of you are so absolutely valid too, because you are a product of all of these other versions of you. So I'm so proud of you, like, truly and honestly. Thank you for
Thank
being
you.
of course. Please let everyone know where they can find you, whether it be social media, websites, etc., whatever you want to put out there.
Okay, so y'all can follow me on Instagram at unperf. Follow my OnlyFans, The Gross Demon. I'm also on Twitter at Alex Shin at ATDAHM at the M. It used to be ATM, but then people kept making ass to mouth jokes and like that's not what it means. So Alex Shin, ATM, if you want to listen to me scream into the void, usually I just complain about fucking the MTA and talk just boast about fucking One Piece. Or at The Gross Demon, if you ever want to see if I post on Insta on OnlyFans, or you know, I'm trying to engage more over there, but also follow my OnlyFans, thegrossdemon.com. I mean OnlyFans. .com/thegrossdemon.
Yes, I will put all of this in the description as well, so everybody will know. And how do you spell your Instagram at name, if anybody's typing in it right now?
UNPERF. Actually, no, let me plug the fucking art one too. There's also my art page where I post all the art shit that I do. It's just a bunch of dolls and paintings, which is spontaneous, chaotic creations with a period between everything.
Now I'm about to go follow you right now. Am I following that page?
I
Montana?
don't think so. I don't think anybody really knows about that page.
No. Okay, come on. You putting yourself out there. We appreciate it. I'm
Okay.
gonna find it. Okay, I'm gonna find it afterwards through your other page. But okay, yay.
Oh,
Yes. And all of this again will be in the description. Any other plugs, or are you all set?
I mean, I have a YouTube, but like, actually, if you're here, you're probably going to be into my YouTube because my YouTube channel is literally just me vlogging and trauma dumping.
That's what we fucking love over here.
Like that is honestly my therapy, is just me talking to myself about what I'm experiencing on camera and then just talking myself through it. And that's I believe the URL is youtube.com/thegrossdemon, but it also might be youtube.com/Sabaku Shinju because my YouTube page is almost as old as YouTube.
You're an OG. Or an
Yeah.
OY, an original YouTuber.
I was posting videos. My first video on YouTube is me at a talent show in middle school, which was 2010.
Want
Like that's how old I that's how long I've been on YouTube. There's literally like videos of me bleaching my hair and just talking about my life and like talking about my brand. Like if you go back, you will learn way too much about me if you go back on my YouTube channel.
Let me go down this rabbit hole real fast. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you for being you. Thank you to your inner child for showing up. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank y'all for listening. This is yet another episode of the Love Atia Experience. Don't forget to give yourself a hug for me.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to come back.
Of course, yes, I can't wait for you to come back either. I'm already planning out in my head. Oh my gosh. And then the gross demon Alex Monroe will be featured in Project Pleasure. How could I not freaking mention that? Like literally, I'm so excited. Y'all are going to absolutely love it. And yes, yeah, stay tuned for that. So thank you so much. Love you so much. I'm sending hugs
You.
and love. And
Yes, everyone listening, remember that you are loved. Thank you for indulging in our bullshit today. And remember that even though you feel alone, there is somebody out there that appreciates you.
yes, absolute motherfucker. That's the best sign up ever. I'm not saying shit. Yes,
Yeah.
I second that. Bye, y'all.